Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ said of himself that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, that he was anointed to preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised, that he was anointed to heal the brokenhearted, and that he was anointed to give sight to the blind. Did Jesus Christ indeed do all four of these things? Well, in today's program, we're going to take the first one, where Jesus claimed that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. And we will see that indeed Jesus Christ did preach the gospel to the poor. To prove that, let's turn over to Luke chapter 6, and we'll read verses 20 through 26. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. And the reason why it's so important to prove that Jesus Christ did do what he said he would do during his first coming is because we know that if he did do what he said he would do at his first coming, then we know for a surety that he will do what he says he will do during his second coming. And he says that during his second coming, he will completely heal everyone in the world of their spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical problems. And today we're addressing the spirit, how Jesus Christ dealt with people's spiritual problems. And he did it by preaching the gospel to the poor. So let's look at these things that he did during his first coming, because this will give us assurance that he will do the same type of things, but only on a much grander scale for all of the world at his second coming. Again, this is in Luke chapter 6 and verses 20 through 26. Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. This is what the gospel is about. The gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God. Because when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth at his second coming to establish the kingdom of God, he will solve all of the world's problems. Jesus Christ will heal the world. So he starts out by saying, blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. In other words, the poor may still be poor in this world. We do not believe in the health and wealth gospel. That is a false gospel. We do not believe in the prosperity gospel. That is a false gospel, straight from hell. We do not believe in the name it and claim it gospel. That is a satanic lie. Jesus Christ says, blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be fulfilled. Jesus Christ also said in another place that the poor you will always have with you. You try preaching this health and wealth gospel to Christians in Haiti. You try preaching this health and wealth gospel to people in India. You try preaching this health and wealth gospel to people in Kosovo or various parts of China in the hill country. No matter where you try to preach this health and wealth gospel, this name it and claim it false gospel to poor people that are poor simply because their governments are oppressive, not because they're lazy, not because they don't work. They may be working just as hard as you do, praying just as fervently as you do for relief. But there is no relief because their governments are oppressive, are corrupt. No matter what they do, they will always be poor. You try preaching that false gospel from Satan the devil and see where it gets you. There is no gospel of prosperity. Jesus Christ said that you will always have the poor with you, but blessed are you that hunger now. That's the gospel to the poor, that even if you are poor, you are still blessed, because in the future, not necessarily right now, but in the future, when Jesus Christ establishes the kingdom of God, that's when you will have your prosperity. That's when you will have your health, because that's when Jesus Christ will heal the world. He goes on to say, blessed are you that are hungry now, for you shall be fulfilled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil. Blessed are you when they do this for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in where? In heaven. Jesus Christ has it stored up in heaven, and he will bring it with him when he returns to this earth to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. That will happen at Christ's second coming. That's when Jesus Christ will heal the world. But he preached this gospel to the poor at his first coming. Goes on to say, continuing in Luke chapter 6, Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Woe to you that are full, for you shall hunger. In other words, woe to the rich, for you have already received your consolation. In other words, right now we may see a lot of people who are rich and prospering who are doing evil, but that will not always be the case. This, my friends, is Satan's world. Doesn't the scripture say that Satan is the god of this world? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Right now, God has allowed Satan to be the god of this world. He is ruling this world. He is the prince of the power of the world. Right now, God has, in a sense, taken his hands off over all in the world and allowed Satan to be the ruler of the world for a very specific reason. And we're going to get to that later. But that's the reason why we see people who are evil and yet who are rich and prospering, who have good health, who have the acclaim of the world. Everyone speaks well of them. But then you have the poor, people that are trying their best to do well, honest, hard-working people, but they're poor. Those are the oppressed people, the poor. People in power make laws to keep those who are poor oppressed. But it will not always be that situation. And this is the good news. The gospel means good news. The good news is that it will not always be this way. Jesus says, Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. It is those who are poor, the weak of this world, who are more likely to listen to the good news that there is hope than those who are rich, who don't need hope because they have what they need and what they have hoped for right now. So the gospel takes root in those who are poor most because they need that kind of hope. And so Jesus Christ says, Blessed are the poor, for you will receive this gospel. You will live the right way despite your poverty, which you may have all of your lives, because there is no such thing as a health and wealth gospel, a name it and claim it gospel, a prosperity gospel where you can get yours now. There is no guarantee, no promise in the scriptures that you are going to get yours now. Jesus Christ says, though, that you have the hope that when he returns the second time to establish the kingdom of God, that is when you will receive your health and your wealth. Because that's the time when God Almighty will heal the world. So now let's go on to see more of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel to the poor. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 12, and we'll read in verses 41 through 44. This is in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. As Jesus sat opposite the treasury, he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And after that, there came a certain poor widow. Notice this. She was a poor widow. And she threw in two mites. And you know that mites are very small. She threw in two mites, which was a very, very small amount of money. But after he witnessed this, he called his disciples to him, and Jesus said to them, Truly I say to you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast in much into the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she cast in only from her little. She cast in all that she had, even all of her living. She only had a little, but with her abundant heart, that little that she cast in was worth more than what the rich cast in out of their abundance, because really, what the rich cast in, comparatively speaking, because their heart was not giving out of abundance, it was only a little. So again, the gospel to the poor is that even if you are poor, even if you can only give a little, if you are giving with your heart, God honors that. That's what God is looking for, a willing heart. It really doesn't make a difference how much money you give. God doesn't need your money. God controls all the wealth of the world, ultimately. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need people who are rich to support his ministry. But God says that he's looking for a person who has an abundant heart, a heart that's willing to give everything. That's what he is looking for. And now let's go down to Luke chapter 12. In verses 22 through 34, we'll see more of how Jesus preached the gospel to the poor. He dealt with the spiritual relationship between a person and their God. This is in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not take thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They don't have storehouses or barns, yet God feeds them. How much more are you better off than the fowls of the air?" Because you're a potential full-blown child of God. Right now, you are begotten of God if you have the Spirit of God, and in a sense, you have been born again because you're walking in a newness of the Spirit. But in the future, you will be resurrected as a spirit-composed, eternal child of God in full glory, the same glory that Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, has. You will receive that same glory. How much better are you, therefore, than the fowls, the birds of the air? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in beautiful clothing like the lilies of the field. If then God can clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, then how much more will he clothe you who will live with him for eternity? So do not be concerned about what you shall eat or drink. Don't be fearful, doubting that you're going to have your needs supplied. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knows what you have need of, that you have need of these physical things. But I'm telling you, this is the perspective that you should have, that you should seek first the kingdom of God and realize that all of these other things shall be added to you. In other words, be spiritually oriented, and then the physical things will be supplied for you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all that you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags which do not wax old. In other words, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That, my friends, is the gospel to the poor.